wonderful. Amen. I love the service. The Lord gave us a great day,
Beautiful day outside. Let's have a great service tonight. Let's everyone stand to sing God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good.
The first verse, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Amen.
Pastor. Day we've had already today, God met with us this morning. And I hope you had got some help. Amen. Had a great choir practice. And I was looking. I told him, I said, you keep messing around, we're going to have to put the fourth row back on the choir. Amen. And so I'm doing my part, filling the choir loft up. Now it's your turn to fill your section up. And someone asked me even after service, said, now, you serious about if we get 450 visitors, you going to get on that mechanical bull? I said, absolutely I will. And I'm just going to, you just remember that the visiting evangelist is one that controls the knob on it, and I control his love offering. So he won't jack that thing up too much. Amen. But just look forward to next Sunday. But we're excited to see what God's going to do for us tonight. And the choir's going to be singing "He Wrote My Name," and I'm glad he did. Amen. Glad it's not. Someone preacher said that when God writes it, it's eternal, and He doesn't have an eraser on it. Now, I don't know how scriptural that is, but I still like it, don't you? And I'm glad that once your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's there for eternity. And so it's settled forever. So let's pray, and we're going to sing "He Wrote My Name," and then "Feeling Fine." Amen. And some of you need to tell your face you're feeling fine. You look kind of grumpy tonight. Amen. So hope you had a good nap. Look forward to what God's going to do for us tonight. Let's pray, and you can be seated. Father, as we come to you, you have been good to us, and so thankful for the good service we had this morning. God, thankful for what you did all over the campus today. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do next week. But we need fresh oil tonight. We need to hear from heaven tonight and pray that you'd meet with us. We love you, and we want to honor you in all that we do, in the singing of songs and the preaching of the Word of God. In our worship, we want to honor you in our giving. And so tonight we pray and ask you that you'd meet with us, use the choir, use the preaching. May we all get help from the hand of God tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated.
Oh,
but continue in the things which thou hast learned, and be a sure law, be a sure law. Continue in the things that thou hast learned, and knowing in the thou hast learned. Continue in faith and charity, continue in faith and I continue in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of, and be assured of. Continue to serve, continue to grow, continue in life, and let others know. I continue in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of. We will continue, we'll turn around and shake hands with our neighbors. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's a fairest dozen thousand to my soul. A lily of the valley, in him alone I see. Oh, I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. His sorrow, he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the brightest morning star. He's a fairest dozen thousand to my soul. He
all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have almost him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Oh, all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore. Through Jesus, I just sang to me the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And the ushers come forth to sing the last verse. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live, I bathe into his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. In his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. His weaving of the glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
What a great great choir. Amen. I tell you what, they are a blessing. And sometimes you just got to get them going, let them go. Amen. I appreciate the good singing tonight and appreciate the good attendance tonight. Good to see you here. Had a great attendance on Wednesday night. I was well pleased with that. And I mentioned to you this morning, we may not can do a lot of things, but one thing we can do is be faithful. And I appreciate your faithfulness and appreciate the faithfulness of God's men. Amen. And it's good to have Brother Whitaker with us tonight. And he resigned and retired from Freeman Street. Of course, that's where Brother Brandon's at. So he's been off preaching, and he was able to be with us tonight. And I asked him if he would come and pray for the offering. Brother Whitaker, if you wouldn't mind, just take a minute and tell him where you've been and what you've been preaching, and give us an update on where all you've been, and then pray for the offering, if you would.
Could you go over that again?
Yeah.
No. You get my age, you kind of get seen. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Well, let me say, first of all, that Brother Brandon, and I hate to bring his name up, I know how much y'all love him down here, but Brother Brandon is where God needs him. And I saw after I resigned, or retired's a better word, Brother Mike,
right,
from there, that God had that for Brother Brandon. What a blessing. And the people at Freeman Street love him. I'm a little jealous. I believe they love him more than they did me.
Well, they don't know him yet.
They don't know. I've been trying to tell them about him. But anyway, we've been preaching, doing evangelistic work. We filled in for a pastor up in Winston-Salem at Open Door Baptist Church several times. Was there last weekend, actually. And we're available for evangelistic preaching wherever God leads us. So you pray for Pastor Bob and Sister Sandra. She's not able to be here tonight. And we're preaching the word, brother. I believe you know that. You asked me what we preach. We preach the old King James Version and try to preach Jesus is good, isn't he?
Sure.
And I want to mention the song y'all sang tonight, talking about how good God is. We had a sign in our church, Brother Michael, and I'm not going to take all your time, but the sign said, "Ain't God good?" Now, is that okay to say
Amen.
That?
Around here it is.
Ain't God good?
Yeah,
twice,
yeah.
Ain't
Amen.
Good? Amen.
Amen.
And so we thought that was wonderful, but God is good. And it's a blessing to be at Currytown. I always get a blessing when I come here. I love your pastor, my Aunt Dot over here. If y'all wonder why I sit with that pretty woman, she's my aunt.
Amen.
It's okay, right?
Amen.
It's okay. My wife don't care if I sit with Aunt Dot. But just pray Amen. For us, and we'll be praying for you the best that we know.
Amen.
You're a blessing, brother.
Thank you, brother.
God love you.
Pray for the offering.
Let us
Thank
pray.
You.
Father, we're so thankful tonight to be in the house of the Lord. And we want to hear the preached word. We're going to in just a moment, but I could leave now and say it's been good to be here. The sweet songs of Zion, the sweet fellowship, just the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we sense it, and we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for blessing here this evening. Now for the offering that's about to be received, may it be taken and used for the outreach ministries, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and Father, to further the gospel through Christ. Town Baptist Church. Bless Brother Michael, his family, all the people that work with him. Give souls for their labor, and we'll thank you for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong.
Yeah.
I've been to lots of places and I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in every lonely yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all. Trust in God through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to
all. You get in, you getting out. And it's like one person said, I don't know if it's a preacher or not, said things come to pass, not to stay. And sometimes that's what you got to grab onto. You don't see it in the storm, but you know when it's all over, Jesus is on the other side, and He's in the storm with you. He'd never ask you to go any place He's not been. And I'm glad of that. He's our help, and He's our fortress, and He's our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But above all those things, you know what? He's our God. Amen. Hey, I'd rather have a God than a friend. And I'm glad He's both. But I'd rather have a God than a brother. And I'm glad He's our brother. I'm just saying, let's not humanize Him to the place we miss His deity. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 6. And let's begin in verse number 1. Just going to read one verse to you. Been preaching on Sunday nights, kind of a different series throughout the year on spiritual growth. And I believe as our theme this year is continue, that that's one of the things that's much needed in our independent fundamental Baptist churches is growth and stability. And we're good at seeing them saved and even sometimes seeing them baptized. But what about 10 years and 15 years and 20 years down the road? We need to see growth, and we need to see folks that are not spiritual babies anymore. And I want to just share this verse with you. You can remain seated tonight. The Bible said, therefore, leaving the principles. Now, we look at therefore. We go back to verse 14. The Bible said, but strong meat belong to them that are of full age, not to the youngsters. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Then the Bible goes on to chapter 6, verse 1, to say, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, that should be behind us. We shouldn't have a problem with those. Once you're saved, shouldn't go back to doubting our salvation. Shouldn't have to go back to every time we have a church service, go back and say, well, I need to make sure I'm saved. In other words, when we get to the place we're able to take strong meat, it's time to put those things behind us, and we rejoice and we thank God and we remember them, But I don't want to struggle, Brother Tim, with my salvation every time I come to church. I want that settled. And the only way you're ever going to grow spiritually is to have your salvation settled and to move on through the stages of your Christian life. So it said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, I know and you know that while we're on this earth, there's no way we're going to be perfect. But that word perfection also means mature. And many of us today have been saved since 1996. And so many of you have been saved longer than that. I shouldn't act like a babe in Christ. I shouldn't even act like a child in Christ. I should act like a mature adult. Perfection, maturing. I'm not where I will be, but I'm not where I was. And so we need to be maturing in the things of God. So it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So I don't want to go back and continually deal with the same thing. Brother Johnny, I've met folks that they've been saved so many times. You know, you talk to them, I got saved 1978 and got saved 1981. I wasn't sure of my salvation, got saved 1988. And they don't even know how many professions of faith they've had. When you're saved, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, it's time to move on to bigger and better things. And again, I'm not diminishing salvation. But honestly, that's about as far as most Christians ever get. They never get past of this. Brother Bob had said, well, doing that won't send you to hell. Well, I'm past all that. You're past all that. It's not a matter of heaven or hell. I know I'm going to heaven. So now, for the rest of the days of my life, I want to live to honor God. And I want to grow in the things of God. So the responsibility, the writer of Hebrews makes a very plain and challenging statement to Christians, not to the lost man, but to Christians here. And he says the responsibility of us is to keep growing. Amen? All right, wake up with me. Say amen right there. All of you, say amen right there. All right, I expect that every time. Amen. So since we know that when a person gets saved, he is not perfect, it becomes a question of how do we grow spiritually? Let me ask you this. I don't want you to think about your wife or your husband or your neighbor or the guy you've been in church with for 10 years. I want you to put your finger on your heart and say, how am I growing spiritually? I cannot control anybody else. As a matter of fact, as the pastor of this church, I cannot make you grow spiritually. But I can make myself grow spiritually. I can preach the Word of God and I can lay the food out there. I can lay, according to verse 14, that strong meat out there. But if you never partake of it, you're never going to get past the babe in Christ. And so we know that according to the Word of God, there's really three stages when it comes to our Christian growth. In the Christian life, there's three very obvious levels of Christian growth. So what are they? Now, put yourself in one of these and don't all of you go to the final one and say, yep, that's me. I mean, you know, if we're not willing to look in the mirror of God's Word and say, I'm not where I need to be yet, we may as well just close in prayer, go eat some cake and ice cream, go to the house because we ain't helped anybody here tonight. Amen? So let's be honest with ourselves, these three stages. Number one is the infant stage. You know what? I love to go to the hospital and I love to go in that labor and delivery and I love it when babies are born. And my wife tell you, every time we go in there and I hold a baby, I'll give her that look and she'll say no. Boy, I love those babies. They smell good and they hadn't learned to talk back yet. Amen. And they're cute and cuddly as long as they're somebody else's. Amen. Hey, I'm 46. I don't have any desire to stay up all night. My wife doesn't either. Changing diapers, hallelujah. Hey, we kept Pampers in stock for about 12 years. Amen. So you think about that, there's that infant stage. There's that time when they're newborn in Christ. As we mentioned, preached this morning, Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we realize just as our physical bodies must go through some stages, our spiritual self must go through stages too. And so the first one is that infant stage. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, when I see the word brethren in the Word of God, I understand that is for me. Amen. That it's talking to me as a believer. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Think about this. Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and he's looking at that church, and he's saying, you know what, brother? He said, I cannot give you the meat of the word. I can't speak to you as a spiritual being, as a spiritual person, because you're not. Well, that would be condemning. You know what we do today? I mean, let's be honest. You know what somebody do today if you spoke to them in church like that? Huh. I'm not going to church here anymore. I'll go somewhere where they love on me. Paul did love them. He was being honest with them. And he's saying, listen, I can't talk to you about these deep spiritual things. You're not there yet. He goes on to say, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, there's some in that church at Corinth that they were babes in Christ. They had been just born again. But there were some that had been saved for years, and Paul is lumping all of them together. What a sad state for a church, a body of believers, for Paul, the apostle, to say, look, I can't talk to you as someone who is spiritual. I've got to talk to someone as carnal as a babe in Christ. So in that infant stage, now listen, this is practical. And it'll help you if you'll listen. If you turn me off, hey, I can't help you tonight. But in that infant stage, what is important? We're not going to be preachers. We're not going to probably be Sunday school teachers. We're not going to be theologians at this point in our life. So what's important in that infant stage? It is important to understand our fellowship. All right? What do you mean, preacher? I mean it's important for someone who gets saved to be baptized. Automatically, baptized. Well, I need to pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about it. You're commanded to be baptized. If you're saved here tonight, you're born again, you ought to be baptized. Amen? Baptized, baptized. Oh, you said, preacher, being baptized doesn't send you to heaven. I know it doesn't, but it's obedience. And if you can never get past that step of obedience, I promise you, you will have problems in your Christian life for the rest of your days. Our fellowship, get baptized. Now, these are simple, but you'd be amazed at how big a problem, Brother Barry, we have these. Join a local New Testament church. Amen. I didn't say join a church seven states away. It's amazing to me how some of these preachers and Brother Bob, they'll join a church seven states away. And Brother Fry, I tell you, he joined this church because when he's in town, he wants to be able to come to his local church. Listen, you need a local church. Well, I like to stay at home and watch Charles Stanley. You know what? Charles Stanley's got some good things to say. I like Chuck Swindoll. That's great. But here's what you do. Next time you're in the hospital, call him and tell him to come visit you at Forsyth Memorial. Amen. You need a local church. Well, I like to give my offering to the TV evangelist. Well, that's fine. Then what we'll do is find out who's giving their money to the TV evangelist and start charging them rent when they come to church. You see, there's some things that as a baby, as an infant, you don't have to understand. You just need to do because God tells you to do it. And one of those is fellowship. Next is faithfulness. I mentioned it before. It blesses my heart to see people that are faithful. You don't have to know everything. You just need to be faithful. Listen, you know what you ought to do? You ought to come with your Bible in hand. Don't come to church without your Bible. Well, I forgot my Bible. I ain't going to church. Go buy one at Dollar General before you come in. That's what I do. Help the economy. We got them in the bookstore. Listen, we would just about spank the devil out of our children for going to school and not have their books. I mean, you think about it. They go to school and say, Mama, I forgot my math book. Well, if I get down there, I'm going to beat the devil out of you for forgetting your math book. You know why? Because they inconvenienced you. But it's amazing to me how many folks come to church without their Bible. Oh, well, I don't need my Bible, preacher. You put the scripture right up there on the screen. Well, you know what? Bring your Bible. I've got it on my phone. Bring your Bible. You know what that screen's for? People that don't have Bibles. You got a Bible. Don't be lazy. Bring your Bible. Well, I got it on my phone. I like to read it off my phone. I wouldn't. Let me tell you why. Because there's just something about holding this old leather in your hand. Amen. I know you can get all the study tools and all that stuff on your phone. I know you can get your olive trees and olive branches and all that. And I don't have a problem with that. I use that stuff on my... But when I come to church, I want this. Amen. I want to open it up and I just want to I want to smell it, and I want to see it. I mean, this is the sweetest. You can't get the same thing off a tablet. Come on, help me now. Hey, you ought to be faithful to the house of God. You ought to bring your Bible. You know something else you ought to have? You ought to have one of these, a pen. Hey, mark in your Bible. We give you outlines. You ought to fill them out. Well, what do you do that for? So you can take it home and you can meditate on it. You can study it. You can put it in a little notebook because you may not need the message tonight, but one day down the road you're going to need it and you're going to say, I wonder what preacher preached on. And the guys may not know exactly what tape or CD you need, but you'll have the notes right there. Amen. We don't do that just for busy work. Hey, we do it for you. Use it. So be faithful. What do I need to be faithful in, preacher? I mean, I'm here on a Sunday night. Well, I tell you what, be faithful every time the doors are open. Be present at every church service. You know what? There's some things that you don't have to come to. You don't want to come to men's prayer breakfast? I'm all right with that. You're missing out on a blessing. I wouldn't stay out just because I didn't want to come. I wouldn't miss the ladies' fellowship just because I'm too tired. I might would miss it if I had a busy week, you know, and need to spend time at home. But I wouldn't miss stuff, you know, this stuff. Now, you're not expected to come to everything, but church services should not be optional. Amen? I mean, if we're having church service, you shouldn't get home on Wednesday night and say, well, I need to pray about going. No, you don't need to pray about going. There's some things you do because it's the right thing to do. And when we're having missions conference in just a couple weeks, we're having it on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're doing something different this year. Oh, preacher, I can't come on a Friday and Saturday. You don't even know what Friday and Saturday it is. You've already just decided the weekends are mine, and so therefore, I'm not coming. You know what? If we're having a church service, listen to me. If we're having a church service, if you're a member of this church, or even if you're not a member, and you attend here faithfully, you ought to be in here. Amen. But I got stuff to do. Well, you know what? Join the crowd. You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm just going to tell you. We just went to Arizona, came back. Monday, I've taken over coaching Luke's golf team. His coach moved to Florida. And so Monday, we had a staff meeting in the morning. I went home and studied for a while. We drove to Greensboro to the golf match. I stayed at the golf match till 6:15. I went to Freeman Street Baptist Church and preached revival and went out in fellowship with Brother Brandon. I came home and got up Tuesday morning and did the exact same thing all over again. Oh, preacher, you want us to feel sorry for you. No, I want you to see that the preacher and his family don't lay in the bed till 12 o'clock every day. Just all we got to do is come to church three times a week. Amen? I mean, we've all got stuff to do, but it's important as that we're faithful, because when we start out doing that, Brother Tim, when we start out being faithful, then we end up being faithful. See? You start some things in life. You know, when I was a baby, one of the things I enjoyed doing was eating. 46 years later, you know what I still enjoy doing? Amen. Hallelujah. I set the pattern early in my life. Some of you did too. Amen. So you set that pattern to be present at every church service. You ought to be faithful in your giving. Well, I don't have it to give. You do have it to give. You got something to give. It may not all be the same, but you ought to give because the Bible tells you to give. Well, listen, 10%, 20% of people giving in church is not everybody ought to be giving in church. And if you don't set that early in your Christianity, you'll have problems down the road. You ought to share your faith early on. Well, I don't know the Romans Road. Well, guess what? Starting Wednesday night, we're going to help you with that. But even with that, you don't have to have all the words to say. You just got to tell people what happened to you. And if you don't start early, you won't end up faithful in it. We don't need to know why. This is so good. I read this and it just, bam, hit me like a load of bricks. You don't need to know why. You just need to do it. And then as you do it, God starts opening up heaven and showing you why. God starts understanding He can trust you. See, let me tell you the problem with this generation. We got to know why. And part of it, you know, when I was growing up, you know, and when you're a little child, your kid don't need to know why about everything. They just need to know mom and daddy said to do it, and you're going to do it. Amen. Now, as they get older, I think we ought to start explaining why, don't you? letting them make decisions, because one day, and one of the travesties of Christian homes a lot of times is you keep your kids under your thumb until they're 18, and then you turn them loose, and they end up acting like a bunch of wild animals because we never show them why to make certain decisions, so they make the wrong ones, right? And so it's all right in the infant stage to say, do this because I said to. You don't have to explain all that. Same thing with Christianity. If the preacher is preaching the Word of God, if you read it in the Word of God, you ought to do it because God said do it. You don't have to know why. Well, I need to get in the commentaries. You know what has ruined more good people is commentaries. You do realize commentary is just a man's opinion about what the Bible says. Now, I'm not against them, but I'm saying don't base your theology on commentaries. Base it on the Word. God will explain in His Word what He means, and you won't have to go looking at every jackleg that says he knows something about the Word of God. You don't have to go look at every lexicon. Matter of fact, don't even look at a lexicon. Well, I want to know the Hebrew word. Let me ask, do you speak Hebrew? What do you speak? English. So why don't you just be satisfied in your King James Bible that God got it right with the English? Hallelujah, that's good preaching. See, the faithfulness, you don't have to know, in the infant stage, you don't have to know all the reasons why, you just do it, all right? So then, I've only got 3 points, I'm doing good here, amen. Number two is the childhood stage. And there ought to be all these levels present in the church. There ought to be some lost people. There ought to be some infant stage. There ought to be some childhood stage. 1 Corinthians 13:11. The Apostle Paul wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You do realize when I say the Apostle Paul wrote this, I'm saying that he penned it down. God's the one that spoke it. Amen. All right, I just want to be sure. I don't want to confuse anybody. I thought we were on the same page. 1 Corinthians 13:11 said, when I was a child. Now, notice that scripture. Paul's saying, when I was. Now, I'm not an English major, but I think that's past tense. Am I correct? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But, there we go. One of those holy conjunctions in there God puts. But, it'd be, you know what? Some Christians wish that part, the rest of it wasn't in your Bible. Because it gives you license to stay where you're at. And so he says this. He says, but, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Uh-oh. Maybe we ought to close in prayer. Because when we put away childish things, it means we're wanting to get past that. Now, I'm okay with my little girls playing with baby dolls. Right? Boy, they drag them in. They got 1,400 of them. I'm glad they're not children. Amen. We'd be bankrupt. They've got clothes for them, and they've got carriers. I've got a 14-year-old, and if she's playing baby dolls, I'm wondering. And I got a 17-year-old, and if he plays baby dolls, we're going to have a come-to-the-Lord meeting. So I'm saying it's okay for little girls to play with baby dolls, and it's okay with little boys to play with G.I. Joes, amen? But when they're 17 years old and they're still playing G.I. Joes, and something ain't right. I mean, if we're still reading the Three Little Pigs to them at 17 years old, 14 years old, then something's wrong. See, I want my 17-year-old to act like a little bit more mature than my 14-year-old, and I want my 14-year-old to act more mature than my other two little ones. Right? Well, if we expect that with our children, why can we not allow God to expect that with us? And Paul said, when I was a child, listen, if my son comes up to me and says, Daddy, goo goo gaga, I'm going to... But if a little baby does that to you, you're going, man, that's the cutest thing in the world. Right? But spiritually, there's a lot of folks that's been saved for 17 years that's going goo goo gaga. Amen? Preacher, feed me. Amen? Give me that spiritual baby food because I can't I can't chop my carrots up and eat them myself. Chew my meat up for me like a mama bird and spit it in my mouth because I'm too lazy to get the Word of God and eat it myself. I enjoy preaching. I love going to hear preaching. But that ain't where I get it all. That's my spiritual nanner pudding. Huh? I want the meat and the taters of my Bible study in my private study with just me and the Lord. And I'm glad I can go and I can get help. And I tell you what, man, even the marriage retreat, man, I got help. Amen? I mean, you listen to the radio and get help. But if that is your daily dose of spiritual meat, you're severely malnourished. And so Paul's saying, when I was a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, when I grew up, when I became more of what I should be, there's some things that changed. What changed? Well, there was a fear. And I don't mean scared. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, notice this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And the Bible goes on to say this, fear God. And now, this is good. Listen, matter of fact, you got your Bible, turn it over there. Brother Jeff, if you can, put that up there, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Can you do that without messing everything up? Well, or I mean not me messing you up. You can't do it. Ecclesiastes 12:13. There. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Notice this. For this is the whole duty of man. What are you here for? Not to build a... You know what I'm here for? Not to build a great church. I mean, when you break it all down, when you take all the fluff away from it, young preachers, it's not... You're not here to build a name for yourself. You're not here to go preach all over the place. Well, bless God, God called me preach. You put preach in me if I don't get it. Listen, don't listen to all that garbage. That's man-made trash. You do what God tells you to do. If He puts you in the children's ministry or puts you in the youth ministry or puts you in the bus ministry, listen, that's what we'll be judged on. I get so tired of all this garbage the independent Baptists spew out of it. Well, bless God, God called you. You don't know a bit more than a monkey. Let a man tell you what God has for your life. And if God puts you somewhere, you stay there till He puts you somewhere else. And if He never does, you be satisfied knowing that when you stand before a holy God, that He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing with church members. Stop looking over the fence all the time. Hallelujah. Same thing with pastors. Man, I ain't going anywhere. I'm not looking for a sweeter deal. God put me here. I'd rather see this place bloom and explode than go somewhere else. You know what? I've been around you folks for long enough to know, at least I know who I'm fighting a battle with. We're on the same side. I don't know that some of them can be turncoats. They may be Benedict Arnold, amen. I want to fight with some people I've already fought some battles with. And so we're to fear. What do we fear? That word fear means to respect. We're to respect God. It's a respect of who God is. And we're to have a desire to please Him. You know what? I want my kids, I want to be their friend. But first of all, I'm their daddy. And I want to be sweet to them and I want to hang out with them and I want to do fun stuff. But most of all, I want to be their daddy. And they ought to respect me. And sometimes that line can get skewed about where the authority is. And that's when you got to, you know, like the old timers said, you got to jerk a knot in them. You know what? In church, same thing. I want to be your friend. I want to help you. But first and foremost, I'm your pastor. I'm not the dictator of the church. I'm the head tater. Amen. I mean, it goes. It's God, He's the leader of the church, and He's put me here to under-shepherd. So there ought to be a healthy respect for that. I don't mean fear as you're afraid of me. I'm saying you ought to respect me. You ought to call me pastor. Amen? We mentioned this morning, we're a family. We ought to call each other, Brother Bob and Brother Johnny and Brother Taylor and Sister Caitlin and Sister Judy. We ought to give that. And our children ought to, it shouldn't be Jason. It ought to be Brother Jason. It ought to be Brother Matt, Miss Emily. We got to teach them that, see, because they don't know any different. So we got to have that respect. We got to instill that respect. And so a lot of times we get a little bit too casual with God and the things of God. Now, I'm not saying we got to be starchy, but we ought to have a healthy respect for who God is, and we ought to desire to please Him. You know what? My children, above all, they should desire to please their father. Now, sometimes they want to please themselves, don't they? You know, go mow the grass. Go clean the house up. Go, practice your piano. But their desire should be, I want to please my dad. Well, our desire should be that I want to please my Heavenly Father. That is that childhood stage. So there's that fear, but then there's that faith in the childhood stage. Obey the Lord instead of living for self. See, our children don't understand all this. But the reason we do the things we do is because we're trying to protect them. And they look at it sometimes as, well, he's just trying to extinguish any fun that I may have. Well, dead is not fun. Amen? Maimed in the hospital is not fun. And so when we look at our faith in the Lord, we have to understand, obey the Lord instead of living for self. And again, we still may not understand all that God is telling us to do, but we've seen in the infant stage that God has been faithful, and so therefore we're to obey the Lord, and we still may not know why He's doing what He's doing. We trust God will do what is best for us. That's hard to see sometimes, isn't it? But if we're in child, you know what? Give the example. You know this. You got kids standing on the edge of a swimming pool, and you stand there and say, "All right, jump." And they have to get over that fear of, okay, is daddy going to catch me? Or they're at the top of the slide, and you're at the bottom going, okay, slide down here, I'll catch you. Well, until they trust you more than they fear themselves or fear the consequence of what they're going to do, they're not going to do that. But when they trust you and say, okay, I'm going to trust my dad because he's not let me down or because he's faithful, and then he'll do that, right? Well, if we expect that from our children, why can God not expect that from us? We're to have faith. We're to have a healthy fear of God. But then the next is again, our fellowship. It's amazing how fellowship crops up in everything we do. Proverbs 24:6, notice this. The Bible said, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." As you start maturing in the things of God, you ought to put some people around you that will give you some godly counsel. I'm not talking about yes men. I'm also not talking about people that are constantly critiquing you. Amen? I mean, there's sometimes you've got an idea and they're saying, you know, that's good stuff right there. But there's other times that you may go in a direction and they'll say, no, I think what we better do is pray about that. I mean, some folks you can trust. And by the way, you better be careful with this aspect. Because if not, all your dirty laundry is going to be aired out. It kind of goes back to that when I was a child, I spake as a child. You know what gossip is? Child is speaking. Guess what I heard? That's childish. If a brother is fallen, we're to restore him. That's what mature Christians do. So our fellowship should be around people that are going to make us better Christians. Listen to me, because a lot of people get to this stage and they go backwards because of the people that are around them. Huh? I'm sorry, but, you know, if I got a 17, 18-year-old kid that's not my son, I'm saying a neighborhood kid, that comes up, knocks on my door and said, Mr. McDaniel, I'd like to take Lee and Abigail and I want to go outside and play, jump on the trampoline with them. I say, boy, you realize I got a whole gun safe full of guns down there. I don't want a 17, 18-year-old boy. I don't really want a 14, 15, 16, 12, 11, what? You see what I'm saying? Little kids ought to play with little kids. Now, brother and sister, that's different. You understand that because I don't want you... Preacher's lost his ever-loving mind. No, I haven't. But what I'm saying is, there's a lot of people that go backwards in their spiritual walk because they are surrounding themselves by infant Christians instead of surrounding themselves with people that are going to make them better Christians. If you're around people that the topic of lunch conversation is criticizing the church and the pastor and people in the church and people the way we do, you're with the wrong crowd. See, you're with the infants and you need to find some people that are going to be uplifting to you. Because if your fellowship is not right, what's going to happen is you're going to slide backwards in your walk with God. Hey, you can take it or leave it, but I'm just telling you that if you don't have your fellowship right, if you don't have a cabinet of people to help and advise you in matters, you're in trouble. And one of them, believe it or not, ought to be your pastor. Listen, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to mess you up. I'm going to try to give you godly counsel. I'm not even going to give you my opinion because my opinion doesn't matter. But I want to give you the Word of God. And then if you choose not to do it, that's between you and God. But you ought to put some people around you. You ought to have some people praying for you. And by the way, you don't have to air out all your dirty laundry to them. You can just say, Brother Bob, I got some matters I need you to pray about. He'd say, you know what he'd do? He'd say, all right, I'll do it. If there's anything else I can do, let me know. If you got somebody's constantly digging, well, what you need me to pray about? Well, I'd just rather not say, well, I could pray a whole lot better for you if you'd get more in detail. You know what they're doing? They're fishing. Cut the line. Let them fish in somebody else's pond. They don't need to. You don't think God knows? I mean, cut the line. But they're my best friend. They're not near as good a friend as you think they are. I want people around me. It's going to make me a better Christian, Brother Jimmy, closer to God, not drag me through the mud. And you know what? And I've seen it. Listen to me. I've seen people get out of the will of God because they put the wrong fellowship around them. And you know what happens when they get out of the will of God? Because of pride, they'll never get back in the will of God. They'll say stuff like, well, we can't look back now. Yeah, you can. You ought to go back to the very place where you knew where the will of God was in your life. Oh, I'm just going to keep walking till I find God. Why would you walk that way when He was back there where you left Him? You see? So the infant stage, the childhood stage, and I'm done now. Hallelujah. I'm having fun with this. Number three, the adult stage. That's where we want to go. Romans 12:10, or 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. That don't sound good, does it? Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. All right? So what's the adult stage? Watch this. Letter A, prefer others. Huh. That's hard. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, loving others above yourself. You know what happens when you have kids? You got to make sure they're fed. Those rascals can eat too. I mean, you got to make sure they got a roof over their head, right? You got to make sure they got heat or electricity, you know, and air conditioning. You got to think about others before yourself. I mean, I remember when me and Ellen first got married, it was just us. You know, and we could, we didn't, we could go eat out anytime we wanted to, you know. We just, whatever we wanted to do, we could pretty much do it. Then you have kids. Then you can't do it. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm saying you have to change some things, don't you? It's not a curse, it's a blessing, but you have to adjust your life. Those little bundles of joy are your responsibility now. And so you have to take care of them. So all this stuff you used to just go do, then do and do and do, now it's got to be, well, I've got to take care of these youngins. Same thing spiritually. When we become an adult and we prefer others, it means we're to love others above ourselves. Listen, I want to ask you this. What do you offer? What do you offer? What do you offer to the church? Because everybody's always talking about what they get out of it. Everybody's talking about what the church did for me, or what the Lord did for me, or what pastor, or my Sunday school teacher, or my friend, or my wife, or my husband did for me. But see, when you are mature spiritually, it's not what they've done for you. What have you done for others? Quiet now. You know why? Because we don't want to think about that. All we want to do, you know what children do? Our kids have done this, yours have done. They'll come home from church or school and they'll go up to their room and you'll go in there and they're facing a pillow. What's wrong, honey? They wouldn't play with me. They wouldn't let me on the playground. They wouldn't let me in their group. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't, blah, blah, blah. And they're crying. You know why? Because they feel like they're being treated unfairly. Now, when you become an adult, hopefully when somebody doesn't let you in their play group on the playground, you just go home and say, oh, well, I'll find me another group to play with. Amen? But I'm saying, I'm not always looking what you do for me. When you become a mature Christian, you're finding out, what can I do for others? How can I get involved? Maybe I run a bus route. Maybe I help at the homeless shelter. Maybe I do other things. Maybe I go and build a porch or go mow somebody's grass. Whatever it is, you're trying to figure out ways to help other people instead of always figuring what you're getting out of. Am I on? What do I get out of it, preacher? I didn't get anything out of the service. What did you put into it? I don't get anything out of church. What'd you put into it, see? So we prefer others. We meet the needs of others. Next is we produce fruit. What kind of fruit do you produce? I'm not just talking about souls. That's a good one. I'm not talking about simply how many people you bring to church. But what kind of fruit do you produce? What is your spiritual fruit that you produce? It is our responsibility to keep the fruit. You know what? We're responsible for each other. Brother Gary and Miss Teresa are out for a few weeks. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't say, preacher, have you talked to Gary and Teresa? Oh, no. Why not? They haven't been here in 2 weeks. What I want to say is, have you? Yeah, but you're the pastor. Yeah, but you're their brother in Christ. I mean, if let's say you go to the family reunion and your brother who is in another state doesn't come and doesn't tell you anything, wouldn't you call them and say, you know, we really missed you at the family reunion? What do you think church is? Maybe you ought to call them and say, you know what, missed you. Is there anything we can do? Maybe there's a need they have that, there we go, adult stage number one, prefer others. Maybe it's something we could help them with. Produce fruit. Then letter C, provisions. See, now we're giving with a joyful heart. We're not giving because we're supposed to, right? We do that in the infant stage. Now, as a mature adult, we're giving because we have a joyful heart. The Bible said in Luke 21:4, and Jesus said this, remember this, all these people were giving, and Jesus said this, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. In other words, he said, you see all these people over here? They had extra, and they threw it in the offering plate. And y'all are over here bragging about all they gave, and making so much. Oh, look at this. And that's what we need to be careful of. I've been in meetings. I'll say, okay, how many will give $10 tonight? How many will give $100? How many give $1,000? Man, we're not in an auction. I thought the Bible talked about our right hand not knowing what the left hand did. You don't need to know what I'm giving. I don't need to know what you're giving. Now, if you're going to hold some kind of office, I'm going to know that you are giving, though. I promise you that. So when we look at provisions, Jesus said, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God. But she, that little old widow woman, said she, of her penury, has cast in all the living that she had. So she gave more because she gave all she had than they who gave out of their abundance. And when we're a spiritually mature Christian, we're willing to give. Hey, you know what? When preacher says we need to take up special offering to pay for the building, you know what people say? You know what? It's going to put me out a little bit today, this month, but I'm going to give because we need to. The infant Christians say, well, I don't have it to give. You go to McDonald's twice a day for 5 days a week, and that's $10 a day. That's $50 a week. But $200 a month, but I don't have it to give. See? We give out of a joyful heart because we want to, not because we got to. I don't got to, I get to. That's where you get when you're spiritually mature. But then, letter D, and I'm done, we start to pursue God. Psalm 42:1 says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. See, I don't come to church and read my Bible. When I get to this stage, right, I don't do those things because I got to. I do them because I want to know Him more. And when you get to that stage, I was talking to a young man this week, and I appreciate him calling me, seeking my advice, and he said, preacher, he said, how can I be a better father? Man, I want to be a better godly father. And I gave him this advice because I've struggled with this, you know. And I'd pray and say, God, make me a better father and a better husband, a better pastor, and a better... I'd go on down the list. And finally, it hit me one day, Brother Bob. If I will be a better Christian, if I will be more like Christ, these other things are going to take care of themselves. See? So I'm got in my mind my spiritual checklist, be a better father, how do I do that, husband, pastor, on and on and on. And what I ought to do is put it at the very top of that thing, and I won't even have to worry about it, but be more like Him. You with me? Just be, you know what Jesus did? He went about doing good. If I'm going to be more like Him, the rest of the stuff's going to take care of itself. But we've got to go through those other stages to get there. Now, I'll say tonight that maybe, I don't know where you're at spiritually. You do. But we're all at different stages. Some of us need to grow up. I mean, you've been saved a while. You're still in the infant stage. You're in the, give me a bottle, preacher. You know, every time something comes up, on Facebook, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Well, that's great. We're going to pray for you, but nobody ever tells you when God answered the prayer, you see. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I got a hangnail. Pray for me. You know, somebody looked at me wrong at Walmart. Pray for me. I mean, and I'm not discounting prayer. I'm saying sometimes you just got to grow up and realize everything ain't going to go your way. Sometimes you got to sprinkle some gunpowder on your cornflake and breathe some fire out. So I'm just going to stick with God. I don't need everybody knowing my business. You see what? You have a backbone like a saw log and say, I'm in here, you know. Some of you are in the child stage. You're not a baby, but you're still not there yet. You know, you still do some childish things spiritually. And some people are in the adult stage. Well, we're not Jesus yet, but we're closer. What I'm saying is we can all move up a little higher. And if we're not careful, we'll start sliding back down. So I want you tonight, evaluate yourself. Where are you on the scale? Where are you in your life? Now let's go one step. Then another. And it starts tonight. Starts tonight. I want you to stand with me all over the auditorium. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one's looking around. Our musicians are coming.
I'm not the kind of preacher. I'm not going to stand up here and beg you to come to the altar. But I believe in my heart that there should be almost every person in here ought to be on this altar saying, God, I'm here and I need to be there. Help me to get there. See what I'm saying? We all need to get there. We all need help. We all need to take steps. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You've never received Christ as your Savior. If you die today, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Let me pray for you. Will you slip your hand up and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven tonight if I died. Is there one? Nobody's going to come to you. Won't embarrass you. Thank you. Is there another? Thank you. You can put them down. Anybody else? Preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Thank you. Maybe tonight you're here and you say, I'm an infant. I shouldn't be, but I am. I'm a child. I shouldn't be, but I am. I'm an adult and I don't want to slip back. Listen, please come. Had two precious souls that raised their hand tonight. Will you come pray for them? You know what that is? That's preferring someone else above yourself. Come pray. Father, thank you for the dear precious souls that raised their hand. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would speak to hearts in this invitation time. It took courage to do what they did. Now, during the invitation, I pray that they'd come forward. We'd show them from the Word of God how they can know they're on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray others would come pray tonight. Decisions would be made. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.